Good morning, church. It's funny, you know, as Joe was talking, he pointed out the banner. I stuck these banners back up here. Stacy was asking to take the other ones down, and I didn't get the new ones yet, but I wanted to put these ones up here. And as he's talking about this serve banner, it's interesting because I put these up together for a reason, because it's when we grow in the Lord that the Holy Spirit leads us to continue to serve. It's not something that we necessarily pick to do. The Holy Spirit compels us. The Holy Spirit works in our lives. He brings about growth in us, and we desire then to serve one another. We should work and grow to serve one another. That is the greatest compliment that we can pay to Jesus, is by growing in him and then serving one another. But we have to grow in respect to the Word. You want to know why I stand up here week to week and press upon you to be in your Word? To be praying through the Word, to be in devotion, to have devotional time. It's so important because it's the Word that gives us, the Spirit works through the Word to help us to grow so that we can understand what it truly means to serve one another. Praise God for who He is and for what He does and how He responds, how He leads us and how He guides us. We're here today to honor the Lord, to worship the Lord, to pray with one another. That's part of service in the kingdom. We have things that were going on in our personal lives. Have anyone of you asked anyone else in here to pray with and for one another? We should do that. There's nothing wrong with that. Because that is something that we get to do as the body of Christ. People who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior don't get that same opportunity. I want you to understand that. It's only those who are in the kingdom that are able to pray in the power of the Spirit. The Spirit only resides with those who have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, who was sacrificed for our salvation. We have to understand that. That's why the world looks like it's in such a mess. We want to know why the world's in such a mess. They don't know Jesus. So everything that people in the world do is all about what they think is best, and what they think is best is what suits them the best. What works best for me and my family. Not what works best for you or what works best for the community, but what works best for me and my family. That's why we see a government that's so chaotic and such a mess. It used to be they were representatives of the people. We don't have that anymore, do we? Sure doesn't seem like that anyways, does it? Seems like a struggle that's out there. It made me think about all of these things as I was working through this morning, or for this message this morning. We've talked a lot of times on Sunday evening about what would it look like if we received a letter from Paul in the church today, in the American church today. You know, we go through a lot of things. It's like, boy, I don't know. I mean, Paul reprimanded some of those people. The Holy Spirit speaking through Paul, like, boy, what is going on? You know, what would it look like today in America? So I asked Dawn to put up a little message. We're going to go through Galatians. Open your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 1. We're going to kind of do a journey through Galatians, okay? And some people think that Galatia was just this one city. And you can see here, Galatia is a region. I think Ken talked a little bit about this last week. I don't know if it was with Galatia or not, but you see all these cities that you hear about in Scripture, and we're going to read about them a little bit too. These are the churches that are in the region of Galatia, okay? So this isn't just one city. This is a region, a large region that houses many people. So it talks about the Word spreading. It's talking about the Word spreading throughout this region that we get a chance to read about and see. So we're going to leave this up here so you guys can read through that. Or look that while we read through this. I'm going to start in Acts chapter 13. You can see up there it says, starting at verse 4. I'm going to start at like verse 13 and read down through, because I want to have a little backstory of what Paul went through as he writes this, before he writes this letter to Galatia, where he was at Galatia. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 13. And bear with me because I'm using my iPad today so I can flip back and forth between verses. It says, now Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos and came to Perga and Pamphylia. Okay, so we see that. So they came from here and they came to Perga and Pamphylia. You see where they came to? Okay, so let's understand the story of what's going on here so we get a better understanding of this. But John left them and returned to Jerusalem. Remember John Mark that went with them? And he left them. And later on in Scripture, we find out that there's a dispute between Barnabas and Paul about John Mark, who left them at a time whenever they needed him, or Paul felt that they needed him, and so he left. And so he said, I'm not taking Mark with us. You remember this dispute that happened in Scripture? Well, this is part of what we get to see here. John Mark left them and returned to Jerusalem. But going on from Perga, they arrived in Pisidian Antioch. So they went from here to Pisidian Antioch. Okay, they're traveling. Now, this first missionary journey is what this is part of. 1,400 miles in about two and a half years this took. So this wasn't just something. We read through a few verses. We got to realize how much time was spent here, how much effort was spent in their lives to share the gospel message, right? Either riding horses or donkeys or walking a lot of this, right? No cars, no trains, no planes, right? So all of this involves a lot of effort. I want us to understand this because we take the church today, and I think we take it so for granted what God has done for us. What God has done for us. These people put effort in. For the gospel to spread, this isn't just simple as posting something on Instagram or sending an email or flying some patient, even sharing a message personally. This is something they put a lot of effort into physically. Right? This is something that we get a chance to see. This is why, partly why we're Christians today. This is the foundation. They built upon the foundation of Christ, and they kept sharing the message, and the word spread. Right? But they had to go and do these things. Going on from Perga, they arrived at Pisidian Antioch, and on the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue and sat down. After reading of the law of the prophets, the synagogue officials sent to them, saying, "Brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it." Paul stands up, motioning with his hands, and he starts to speak. Now, I want us to pause for a minute. I want you to understand something. When you read the book of Acts, a lot of times what you come to in the book of Acts is you come to a big event, and it stays there for a minute. And we get to see how God's people worked through that event, what happened, and then how God moves through that event, and how people responded to that event. And then a lot of times we'll go on, there's some travel, and you see, okay, a time period happens, they're traveling, doing this and doing that. That's what we began reading in verse 13. They're traveling. You don't see them stopping and talking at the places. I'm sure they did. But we see a lot of traveling happening. When they travel by boat to get to Perga, it doesn't say they were talking to the people on the boat, but I'm sure they were, right? It doesn't give us any instance. It just tells us they traveled. So there's time, there's a time frame, and then all of a sudden we get to a point where God says, I want people to understand what's going on here. I want my people in the future to know what happened historically so that we can understand what my church should look like, how people should respond to God's message. So Paul starts to speak to these people, and understand these are people in the synagogue, so they are Jews, right? Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt, and with an uplifted arm he led them out from it. For a period of about 40 years he went up with them in the wilderness, and he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan. He distributed their land as an inheritance, all of which took about 450 years. Boy, we expect God just to do things snap in our lives, don't we? Come on, God. Come on, God. 40 years they walked through the wilderness. 450 years this took to complete. Time. What creates diamonds? Time and pressure. Time and pressure. We don't like either of those things, but we want to be diamonds. Time and pressure. After these things, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. Isn't that an awesome story too? God says, I want to lead you people. Let's be a theocracy, led of God. No, we want a king. And he gave them the message in that time through Samuel. Here's what a king's going to do. He's going to take your lands. He's going to tax you. He's going to do this and that. Take your young men and put them in battle. All these things are going to happen. And you know what? In all their wisdom, the people of Israel said, you know what? Let's do that instead. Let's take another man to lead us rather than having God just lead us. And Samuel was so hurt by that time. He said, oh my. And God told him, it's not you they're pushing away. It's me. See, whenever we push away God's design for our lives, we push God away. And we experience a lot of bad things. We've experienced a lot of bad things throughout history because human beings continue to push God away because we look at things around us and we think, oh, that has to be better. Or we get lost in the things around us, in the storms of life. Think about Peter walking on the sea. Why did he finally slip down in? Was it because Jesus didn't have enough power to help him walk on the water? No. It was because he started looking at the storm around him and worrying more about the storm than focusing on Jesus. We know these things, but yet we don't seem to apply them to our lives. Then they asked for a king. God gave them Saul, son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin for 40 years. After he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he had also testified, said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. From the descendants of this man, according to promise, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, after John had proclaimed before his coming a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. This is something I made a point in Sunday school, and I want us to understand this because we get so lost today. In the world today, we look at Israel and we look at America. We're like, well, we have to stand up for the country of Israel because that's God's promised land. That's who God promised these people. And the question is, what did God promise Israel all throughout history? What did he promise the Israelites? That they would have a Savior who would be Jesus. That was the promise. The church is the promise of God. To be a part of the church, you're living a part of the promise of God from the beginning. From Genesis chapter 3, from when sin entered the world and God said, don't worry, I'm going to raise up a Savior. And he is going to save you of all your sins. We are a part of that promise, people. If you're a member of the body of Christ today, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, not just as somebody who saved you, but also the Lord of your life. If you know Jesus in that way, you're part of the promise of God from almost the beginning of time. Think about that. How wonderful that is, that we are living in this promise as the church, part of his people, to be a part of his body, to be his bride. How wonderful is that? This is the promise from then up until now, and we're still living it. This isn't something we have to wait for. We are enjoying the kingdom presence today because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Again, this is Paul. I don't want to get too far off because this is Paul sharing this message with these Jews, right? And while John was completing his course, verse 25, he kept saying, what do you suppose that I am? I am not he, but behold, one is coming after me, that the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie. Again, now here's this what Joe was just talking about. This is John the Baptist talking about being lower than a steward. Stewards were down here. He said, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. I'm a steward of this situation. But I'm like, man, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. I'm not even worthy to do that. Brethren, sons of Abraham's family, and those among you who fear God, to us the message of the salvation has been sent. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, recognizing neither him nor the utterances of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled these by condemning him. Think about that. And though they found no ground for putting him to death, they asked Pilate that he would be executed. When they carried out all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. God raised him from the dead. Jesus is no longer in the tomb, is he? He's not on the cross. We use the cross as a symbol. He's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. He's not walking on earth. He sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us right now. He's sent because he did all these things. He promised, I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit, and my Holy Spirit will lead you, guide you, give you comfort, bring my words back to memory so that you can listen and obey. So that you will know the direction of this life that I have for you. Jesus has done this for us. God made it possible through his Son by the power of his Holy Spirit. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, recognizing neither him nor the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled by concerning him, and though they found no ground for putting him to death, they asked Pilate that he be executed. When they carried out all that was concerning him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and many days he appeared to those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, the very ones who are now his witnesses to the people. And we preach to you the good news of the promise made to our fathers. Did you hear that? We preach to you the good news, the gospel message that was promised to who? Our fathers. He's not just talking about one generation. He's talking about our founding fathers, our forefathers, all those who came before us. This was the promise that Jesus would fulfill all these Old Testament promises. God has fulfilled our promise to our children that he raised up Jesus. It is also written in the second psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As for the fact that he raised him up from the dead, no longer to return to decay, he has spoken in this way, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. Therefore, he also says in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep, died, and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay. But he whom God raised did not undergo decay. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and through him everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. The law, the Ten Commandments, do not free us. The Ten Commandments do not set us free. They don't bring about salvation. The Ten Commandments show us where our sin is. Jesus sets us free. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor yourself. Then it goes on to say, honor your mother and father. The first commandment with a promise. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not commit adultery. Do not commit adultery. All of these things that we see just show us where sin is. What brings us out of that? What is the cure for that disease? It's Jesus. He's explaining this to them. They understand this when he says this. I'm saying it like this because we don't always understand that. We take and say, what does this mean, the law of Moses? Every year, what did they do to be set free for that year? They take a perfect lamb, and they shed the blood. And the high priest would take it to the Holy of Holies, the holiest place where God would meet on the mercy seat. They would sprinkle the blood so that the people of Israel would have mercy from God's wrath. What sets us free from God's wrath today? The blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect lamb. We don't have to go shedding blood anymore. We have to be obedient to Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior and Lord, not just Savior. Therefore, take heed so that the thing spoken of in the prophets may not come upon you. Behold, you scoffers, and marvel and perish, for I am accomplishing a work in your days, a work which you will never believe, though someone should describe it to you. As Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Now when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who were speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy, and they began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it is necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Since you repudiate it, though, and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Now think about that. When we push back against the word of God, we say, we don't need that. We push back against true eternal life, right? We are turning to the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Ken told us last week. If you weren't a Jew, born and raised, guess what? We're Gentiles. We're foreign nations. He's come bringing a message to the Gentiles, for the Lord has commanded us. I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as have been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women and prominence and leading the men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. When they shook off the dust of their feet in protest, they went to Iconium. You see where they're at here? And the disciples were continually filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. In Iconium, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together, and they spoke in such a manner. Now, we're still in the region of Galatia, right? That a large number of people believed, both Jews and Greeks. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore, they spent a long time there, speaking boldly in reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided, and some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. And when an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe. Again, take a look at the map. You see in the surrounding region. And there they continued to preach the gospel. I'm bringing this up so we understand the background of what Paul and his people went through before he writes this letter later on to the region of Galatia. This gives us an understanding of what they're going through here. What are they going through? They're being pushed out. They're being persecuted. People don't like them. They're stirring up problems for these people. And all they're trying to do is share the word of God, right? And I know this is taking a while to read this, but we have to have this background. I think it's important for us to have this background of what they're going through. At Lystra, a man who was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his gaze upon him and had seen that he had faith to be made well, right? Here we talk about this. Said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. He leaped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they raised their voice, began saying in the Lycaonian language, the gods have come like men and have come down to us. And they began calling Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes because he was their chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. Think about this. Wow, look at this. Zeus and Hermes, they're here. They've come like men among us. Look at this. We're hearing these great messages. Let's sacrifice these people. But when apostles Paul, Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their robes. They rushed into the crowd saying, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you and preach the gospel to you that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In the generations gone by, he permitted all the nations to go their own ways. And yet he did not leave himself without witness. In that he did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Even saying these things with difficulty, they restrained the crowds from offering sacrifice to them. It makes me think about the things that we do in life when we get something good that happens to us, and we're just like, man, this is wonderful. But then who are we going to give the praise and glory to? Is it ourselves? Have we done such a great thing and a great miracle in our own lives? Or are we going to give praise and glory to God for what he's done? These people wanted to praise Paul and Barnabas. Like, look at these guys. Listen to what they're saying. We need to sacrifice to them. And Paul comes out, no, listen. You're missing the point here. I'm trying to tell you about who Jesus is. That God sent his son, that you would be saved, that you don't have to offer sacrifices to people. These gods you're talking about are false gods. There is no power in Zeus and in Hermes. There is no power in astrology. There is no power in the presidency. There is no power in some of these positions as we like to think of them as power. The eternal power comes only from God. And this is what Paul is trying to say. Here's where it comes down. This is very interesting. But Jews came down from Antioch and Iconium, so now they followed him down, having won over the crowd. They stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered back into the city. The next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. And after they preached the gospel of that city and made many disciples, they turned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. Now understand this. Think about what just happened here. They were so mad, they decided that they won people. Oh, yeah, come on, let's get rid of this Paul. They stone him. They throw him outside the city. They think he's dead. Now, put yourself in that position. You get up, you're like, man, I can go back into the city and continue sharing the gospel, or I can go the other way. Who's going back in the city? Thank God he goes back in the city. Thank God that these men who knew that persecution was coming, severe physical persecution, continued to share the gospel, that we get a chance to see it and read it and hear about it today. Where would we be today if these men had shrunk back and had not done these things, and not stood up in the face of danger, real danger, upon their lives and shared the gospel message? Where would we be today? Here we are, we get to read about these guys. We talk about Paul. And Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Christ came to suffer and die. Paul suffered and eventually died. Here we are today to imitate Paul as he imitates Christ and what he went through. So whenever he writes this letter to the Galatians, we see this region that he went through, and he's stoned, he walks back in, and he goes back through all those places again. 1,400 miles, 2 years, sharing the gospel message to make sure they understand that Jesus is the Son of God and that salvation happens in Jesus Christ alone. So that's the background I wanted to give you today. Go ahead and read through it. Acts chapter 13, 13, where am I at in my brain? 13:13 through 14:20. And understand what Paul and his people went through, because then as we go into starting Galatians next week, and you see he's talking about these things, and one of the first verses he said, oh, you foolish Galatians, why are you turning away so quickly? And he wrote this letter not many years after he had left this region, but he's running back to them. Because he heard that they were starting to worship false gods and all these lies that were coming about, and he's trying to handle them. Listen, I was there. I almost died for you people. I put my life on the line. Why are you so quickly turning away from this gospel message? So I ask us, are we going to be ones to turn quickly away from the gospel message in our lives? Are we going to look at something that could happen to us out in the world and be like, I can't do that? Or are we going to stand boldly, pray, and stand boldly upon the word of God? Because if we want to see the world change, if we want to see our kids be strengthened so that they can walk into this world as they become adults and the things that they're going to have to go through, it's not going to be what I can do. It's going to be what God can do in and through them. But my purpose is to share the word of God with them. My purpose is to pray with them and pray over them. They have to receive it. They have to, but my purpose, my responsibility is to share it so they can do that. All of us as parents, that's our responsibility. As grandparents, it's still your responsibility. If you have a coworker that you know that needs to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, why aren't you sharing it yet? Man, my workplace just stinks. I can't do anything about it. Have you told them about Jesus? Well, it's just going to make it worse. Praise God. Because when you're reading the book of Acts and they get stoned and they get thrown out and they get flogged, they consider it all joy that they are worthy to be considered to share the shame of Jesus. It's an awesome thing. Be able to do that. We don't look at it that way. Why? Do we think it's different today in the United States of America? Those things just shouldn't happen? Do we realize what's happening in our country today? Have you looked around? Have we been paying attention the last 10 years? People moving into our cities. Muslims are running cities in the United States of America with Sharia law. Do you understand that? In the United States of America, they've taken over cities in our own country. China has bought I don't know how many thousands of acres in our own country. We're not going to be our own country eventually. We won't be the United States of America anymore. You realize what might be coming down on us? You realize that when you read the book of Acts, these things might be hitting us sooner than we think? Are we prepared to stand in the name of Jesus and be flogged, beaten, stoned, killed? Are we ready for that? We might have to be. Some of us that are older might not ever have to see that. I worry for our children. What are we leaving our kids? I think of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah, this king, he makes me so frustrated because God told him about something he was going to do as far as a curse he's going to put upon him. It will be after your reign. And Hezekiah goes, oh, good, it won't be during my reign. They can deal with it later. They can deal with it later. Is that what we want to leave for our kids? You guys deal with it. What are we doing as the church to stand up? What's your life with Jesus look like? Is it strong enough to be able to stand up where you're at? It says, well, where am I supposed to go, Pastor? You say to go. Where are you going tomorrow? You tell me. Where are you going? Because wherever your feet are, that's where ministry can happen. And that's where ministry should happen. And that's where sharing the gospel should happen. And might you be looked at as peculiar and weird? Are you worried about them beating you? Are you worried about them shooting you? Then why aren't we sharing it? Because I know the answer is no. They were. They went places knowing these things were going to happen to them. Willingly. Not by their own power, but as Paul talks about through Acts, by the power of the Holy Spirit. They knew that, and they still went. I know I'm going to be in chains every place I go, Paul says. I know it. Got to do it. We go to work and say, well, we're person to think I'm a weirdo. Okay. I'm going to tell something, though. I want to encourage you. Because sometimes it sounds so bad, right? Like, boy, Pastor, you don't make it sound good. Once you start sharing the gospel message and you allow Jesus to work, it might take months, it might take years. Somebody's going to come back and start talking to you about it. They're going to start having questions, and you're going to have an opportunity to answer. You're going to have an opportunity to share Jesus. It might only be one person out of a workplace of 30. I don't know. But it will happen. Because I believe in the power of the Word of God. I believe in the Holy Spirit and how He works. People are going to have questions. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning, reading through Acts chapter 5. It said that the people were afraid of those guys who got flogged. They were afraid. They were afraid of them. Understand that we live in a world, and these people who don't know Jesus, part of the problem is they're afraid. When they think when they die, there's nothing else. They're afraid of that. They're afraid of death. We're not afraid of death. I'm not for sure. Me and Joe and Ken and Jonathan have talked about this. If I drop over a heart attack right now going crazy like I do, they're just going to pull me out of the way and keep preaching. Because I won't care. Thank God. I'll be in heaven. I'm okay with this. We shouldn't fear death. Those people fear death. They fear what they don't know. We know what it looks like on the other side. We know if Scripture tells us that we're going to be in glory with God for all of eternity. How bad can that be? It's going to be wonderful. They fear, and because they fear, they try to make up rules to try to keep them here and everything they want while they're here, and this is what we're fighting against. But you know what changes that? The Word of God. The Holy Spirit of God working through the Word of God into people's hearts. For all of you who are out here who are saved, what happened? You think about whenever you received Jesus as Lord and Savior, your life changed. I know for me, my life changed. You wouldn't like me if you knew who I was before 2011. I'm surprised my wife even liked me. Okay, maybe I'm not surprised. Think about that. He changes us. Do you believe that he can change? If he can change me, I know he can change anybody. Paul talks about that. I was the worst, but here I am today. Do you believe that today, church? You don't have to go out and preach it to the world. You don't have to be a Billy Graham. Just start in your home. Start in your workplace. Start wherever you're at. Pray with somebody. Someone comes up to you in Walmart and says, boy, I'm really struggling with this. I'm going for a surgery. Take that as a cue. Be like, okay, I know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. I'm going to pray with this person right now in Walmart. Can I pray with you? Have you ever done that before? If you haven't, I encourage you to do it. Because, boy, does the atmosphere change. And it's wonderful. You're sitting there with somebody, and the rest of Walmart's going, what is happening? You're praying with a person. Think about how God looks down and sees that moment of time. Think about what our God and Father sees in that moment of time. What he's doing in that moment of time. If you want to be encouraged, think about that. God looks down and says, amen. How wonderful is that? This God that we have and the opportunities he gives us. I encourage you. Read through Acts chapter 13 and 14. We're going to go and start studying Galatians, this letter that Paul later wrote to these people. Read through Galatians. It's not a long letter. And think about what the letter would look like if we received it today. Man, to the churches of America, .. I don't even know where to begin with you guys. We're going to share in communion. But before we do that, we're going to sing. I'm going to invite the praise team up to sing. And I want you guys to think about what God has said to you today through this situation in Acts. Where are you with this with God? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Because before we share in communion, one of the things we have to understand is that our hearts have to be right before we share in communion, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks about this as he's writing to the people at Corinth. He says, listen, if you take communion in an unworthy manner, you're going to experience a lot of bad things. A lot of these curses that are among these people, you're going to experience bad things. So we have to be right with the Lord. And the only way to be right with the Lord is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you already know him in that way, wonderful. If you really don't, and you're sitting going, boy, I need that. I need the power of Paul in my life. The power that Paul had, I need that. It comes through the Holy Spirit. We need that in our lives. That only comes through Jesus Christ, being saved, repenting of our sin, being washed. The repentance of the sin and washed by the blood of Jesus brings us into the family of God and the kingdom of God. Here we are right now with an opportunity. Maybe you've never had the opportunity before. Maybe you've never heard it this way. Here it is right now. Take the opportunity. Don't let it pass by. Here's the opportunity to share in the kingdom and in the body of Christ. We're going to sing. I'll be standing over here. If you want to pray, want me to pray with you, I'll pray with you over here. If you want to pray by yourself, come over here. But this is an opportunity we have to be right with the Lord before we take our time to share in communion. It's very, very important. So I encourage you, please come as we sing.